corpses this morning on the sidewalk outside my building. I see them as soon as I open the door, black bagged, duct taped at neck and ankles and waist. 10 of them, maybe, clumped in one untidy pile. Blood is pooling, thick and dark like oil, at the bottom of this mound. I can smell it on the cool October air, coppery and wet and stronger than the garbage in the exhaust, stronger than the toothpaste I just used. How? Why are there bodies? What has happened? I am rooted. I cannot move. My hand holding the door half open, my skin crawling with terror or shock. I don't know how long.
Excuse me. Hello?
The man in the suit is frowning at me. He wants to get by. I'm blocking the door. He lives in my building, but I do not know his name. I can't speak. I stand aside to let him pass. He'll see for himself. Maybe he will know what to do. I watch him as he leaves the building. His stride is brisk, and he does not break it, even as he steps around the pile. The heel of his leather shoe lands in the pooling blood, and now he leaves a stamp print trail of crimson and brown on the concrete behind him. He never once looks back, but I see now that there is a pile outside of every building he passes. A pile of dead people, just like mine, though many are larger. I see others walking, hurried and busy and vaguely angry, stomping and hustling to work, to meetings, to carry on the business of their varied and uncountable lives. Not a one of them looks at the bodies. Not a single one is paralyzed or weak with dread, as I am. I step into the street and I yell for help. I call out to my city, the city that I love, and my voice is weak and cracked. My heart is pounding, skipping beats, I think, and my head is swimming and my vision is blurring, but I know that they can hear me. I know because they look at me, some with pity and some with confusion, and some with rage. They glance at me sidelong, just once, and they keep moving. I don't ever decide to stop yelling, I just do. Behind me there is a familiar jingle and clatter, and a small hand on my arm. Hey, Mr. B, what you doing? Why are you yelling at the street? It's Norman. Norman's my little buddy. He's wearing his red backpack with Mario on it. His mom lives on my floor, and she let me give it to him for his birthday this past summer. He said it was the coolest. He said it was his favorite. Norm, I say. Norman, you have to go back inside right now. His eyes go wide. Why? He says. You look scared. I am scared, Norm. I don't know what's going on. There are bodies everywhere. People are dying. Something's killing them, and I think I trail off, because Norman is grinning, smiling wide. I am waving my arms, pointing like a madman or a mime, and Norman is looking. He's taking in all that death and grinning. He says, "You're funny, Mr. B." He thinks we're joking. We joke a lot, that's why we're friends. He turns to go. And I am yelling again. No, Norm, you get back inside. Get your mom. But I look back and she's there at the door. Cassie, his mother, waving goodbye to her son over the carcasses. She's smiling too, though I can see from here that she is wondering what on earth I am doing, yelling and waving like that. I'm gonna be late for school. I gotta go.
See ya.
And Norm is skipping away, backpack rattling again. The next block over, there is a stack of bodies large enough to cover the sidewalk altogether, and I watch my little buddy as he clambers up and over. I watch as he slides, bumping, down the other side and out of sight. My guts go cold and rigid. Something heavy flops against my heel. I whirl and see that two men have started a new pile just behind me. I stumble back with a curse. What the fuck? One of the men, the larger one, looks at me with some concern. He looks kind. He reminds me more than a little of my own father, especially when he says,
"I'm sorry, that's my fault there. Heavy, you okay, guy?"
I'm shuddering now. I know he can hear it when I talk. Help. I need help.
What's wrong? What can I do?
He looks me in the eye. He reaches out with a hand. Beside us, the pile is growing.
Who are they? I say. What happened to them?
His eyes narrow, go icy.
Excuse me?
Them.
Them, the body bags. The corpses. Everywhere.
People die.
The huge hands at his side are clenching into fists. I can see that I'm losing him. I have to make him understand.
No, no, not like this. Look around us. There are hundreds of them.
He shrugs. And? I am almost screaming now. It's wrong, I yell. These are human beings, not trash. The man's face is stony. I bend down, pointing both arms, whole hand at one of the bodies.
This is a person, I say.
They lived. Someone loved them. Someone is grieving for them, I say. I look up, imploring, and he sneers.
I think I get it. You're one of them.
This can't be happening, I think. This isn't happening. Please, is all I say.
You're afraid of it. You're afraid of it, and you want me to be afraid of it, too.
He steps forward, violence in the curl of his lips and the tread of his boot.
But I'm not a fucking coward. Like you, you pussy, you cuck. Maybe I should fuck you up, huh? You want to be in a bag so much, maybe I should fuck you up.
I'm running, staggering away. I don't think he bothers to chase me, and I don't stop for a couple of blocks. Not until I trip on something heavy, dull, and I don't see it, but I know what it is, and I go down hard. I rise, shaking, when I can. The body that tripped me up was from a heap higher than my waist, 20 or 30 bodies at least. I'm walking again, slower this time, and I think I've done something to my leg, but I cannot and will not stand there next to that obscene tangle of bagged flesh. Or the next one. Or the one after that. I'm headed to work, I realize after a minute or two, and I keep walking. What else is there to do? I am already late. I pass pile after pile after pile, hundreds of bodies. They are on every street, in front of every building. I pass newspaper and magazine stands, and there are so many headlines, but nothing about the corpses. Somehow I already knew that there wouldn't be. My office building has a pile too, a big one. I don't look at it too closely. I am disheveled and bleeding and late. But I'm not the only one. Lots of people are absent. And the ones who are here, some of them look as rough as me. Nobody says anything about any of it. So I get to work. I don't know for how long. My boss calls us all together, and her face is serious and engaged. She says that she knows the situation is difficult. She knows it's bad out there. It should never have gotten this far, she says. We can all agree on that. But she wants us to know that she spoke to a friend in the mayor's office, and it's all being taken care of. And aren't we glad it's the mayor handling it, and not his predecessor? She laughs. And at the end, she hands out $20 gift certificates for lunch burritos. I browse the news at my desk, and the news goes on forever. Fear, sex, anger, and the very crumbling of the world. But again, there is no explanation, no interest at all in what I'm searching for. Though sometimes, in the photos and videos of celebrities or politicians or sporting events, you can see the piles in the background. Eventually, I give up. Twice that afternoon, I hear bodies being dragged past my door, behind me. I do not turn around. And then the day is over, and it is time to go. We shuffle out together, my co-workers and me. We wish each other a fun weekend, and voices barely rising above a murmur. I step outside, and I am assaulted by the smell of rot, of decay, and the piles. The piles are stacked as high as my head, and they are spilling out to cover the sidewalk, all of it, in a tangled carpet of plastic-sheeted carnage. Some of the bags are only chunks now. Some of them are still moving. There is no way around, and I feel a desperate need to be home, to be alone. So I do what everyone else is doing, and I walk. A sudden smack of meat and plastic just ahead. I look up. They are throwing bodies from the windows now, high above the street. The buildings are tall in my city, and some of the bodies fall for a long, long time. I am too numb for surprise or horror now, but I learn to walk more carefully as ahead of me, a hurried woman in a gray suit is flattened in one messy instant. No one stops. Neither do I. What would be the point? I trudge onward. All of us trudge onward together, shoulder to shoulder, through a fall of thick, black snow. My mouth is dry. My lungs are filled with stench and smoke. I have stopped wondering how many there are. What use are words like thousand or million to me now? I walk. And around me, above me, beneath me, the pile. That is all I need to know. That is all that I can comprehend. At last, I am home. Cassie is sitting in the doorway. Her arms are wrapping, crushing something to her chest. The red backpack with Mario on it. At her feet, at the top of the pile that now spreads right up to the door, there is one body bag that is much too small. But she isn't looking at it, doesn't acknowledge it at all. And though the tears are streaming down her face, I see that she is smiling. "It's all right. It's all right," she says, as I slide past her and into my building. "They said that it doesn't hurt children. It doesn't hurt children. That's what they said on the news. So it's all right. It's going to be all right." I don't speak to her. What is there to say? Inside my apartment, there are no piles. It is clean and cool and quiet. I think that I am more exhausted now than I have ever been. I hurt in my body and in my mind and in my soul. We were not made for this. This is not a life for thinking, feeling people. I know now why no one wants to look at the pile. I think, after this, that I will not be looking either. I lay out my clothes for work tomorrow. It will be a big day, and I have much to do. I brush my teeth and stare into my own eyes in the mirror, sunken and fiery. I do not know how long. My apartment is so dark now, and my bed is waiting for me. Grateful, I climb inside. I lay my body down. I am so, so tired, and I am cold. I seek the bliss of nothingness, eager for it like a child. I reach down and pull the covers up and over my head. One more for the pile.
One more for the pile was written and performed by Alex Mayberry. Audio engineering, sound design, and music by Ben Patterson and Matt Tracy. Listen to Phantom Limb anywhere you get your podcasts. Happy Halloween.